Liberals embrace Islamic extremism in Canada. When FBI Director Kash Patel condemned Canada, allowing Islamic terrorists to gain a foothold in North America, Canadian politicians and pundits, including the new Prime Minister Mark Carney, dismissed Patel's assertions as baseless fear-mongering. Now, if you've watched my channel, you know there's nothing baseless about this fear-mongering at all. It's not fear-mongering. It's accurately depicting what's happening. We are a money-laundering powerhouse for terrorist organizations all over the world. We embrace extremism, particularly Islamic extremism. We allow Palestinian protesters to rage on the streets, smash the windows out of businesses, target ethnic groups for destruction, and preach their hate all over Canada, and our politicians proudly stand up for it. We talked about in a video this week how Elizabeth May thinks there's a gay genocide happening in this country, and I cleverly, tongue-in-cheek, call it a gayicide. She thinks there's a gayicide in Canada. She actually sponsored a petition talking about the gayicide. Nothing could be more delusional. It's June tomorrow. I used to love the month of June. I used to think June was like one of the best months of the year. And then it became this rainbow fun fest. And now I kind of dread it because you get sick of having it shoved down your throat. But I digress. She supports the idea of a gayicide, and yet she and so many politicians in Canada support Islamic extremism, where there's no room for any of the rainbow brigade, even just your normal average gays and lesbians. There's no room for getting two-spirits and furries and trans everything. The contradiction is enormous. Gay is for Palestine, anybody? Unfortunately, it is clear that the Trump administration is correct. Radical Islamic ideology has become endemic in Canada over the past decade. The Canadian Security and Intelligence Service itself has confirmed that since 2015, radical Islamic ideology has become commonplace throughout Canadian society as a result of the porous borders and the Liberal government's unwillingness to effectively regulate the influx of international migration into Canada. We're just dumping people in this country and we are not vetting them. We vet legal, lawful gun owners better than we vet our immigrants in Canada. Numerous terrorist leaders and those with intimate connections to terrorist organizations such as Sami Doon and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine have been permitted to migrate within the Canadian state and promote their own nihilistic ideology over the past decade. It's not just promotion of the ideology. They're engaged in vast criminal enterprises here in this country using our real estate system to launder that money, which then ends up funding terrorism overseas. Canada is a clearinghouse for international crime. The world knows it. Only Canada seems to not know it, even though you can see the evidence all around you, as we've covered extensively on this channel. Now, this is an important one, which I'm not sure I've targeted in my work. I may have mentioned it, but I don't think I've talked about it. Islamic schools in Canada are not compelled to abide by a standardized curriculum and consequently covertly promote radical Islamic ideology and extremism to vulnerable children in Canada. At one prominent Islamic school in Canada, the East End Madrasa, administrators were recently pressured into issuing a public apology after it was exposed for teaching children that treacherous Jews conspired to kill the Prophet Muhammad. Since 2015, explicit Islamic terrorist acts have been increasingly prevalent in Canada. They're not teaching in their Islamic schools the gender unicorn. They're not preaching against the family in their schools. Now, in some ways, that's something we should look to, because we are tolerating through our public education system, which isn't really an education system anymore, the targeted destruction of the nuclear family, the targeted destruction of normal relations between a man and a woman and the children that they generate, healthy demographics, the sustenance, the life's blood of Western civilization is being destroyed, and you're forced to pay for it via your education levy on your property taxes and your PST, and to a lesser extent through your income taxes in the federal government. But the religious schools don't have to do that. And we're not talking about the Catholic education system, because they're publicly funded and they have to teach this madness too. The Muslims are not destroying themselves with this self-destructive ideology. They're exempt And worse still, they teach much more extreme things. Since 2015, explicit Islamic terrorist acts have become more increasingly prevalent in Canada. According to data from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, nearly a dozen terrorism-related incidents have occurred in Canada or abroad involving Canadians since October 7, 2023 alone. In addition, the number of terrorism charges laid in Canada jumped 488% last year. This should disturb your lawmakers. This should disturb your media. It should disturb your government. It should disturb the provinces. If the federal government's not going to fix this, people like Premier Scott Moe, Premier Daniel Smith, you would think they would have an interest in educating their electorate and doing something at the provincial level to stop this. Instead, everybody's kowtowed and afraid of being called a racist or a bigot. Just words. Words that are used as weapons to disguise and hide the truth of what's actually happening right here in Canada. Canadian police have foiled 6 terrorist plots in the last 12 months alone, with arrests spanning from Edmonton to Ottawa to Toronto. The Liberal government recently publicly downplayed a report from the United Kingdom's Foreign, Commonwealth, and Development Office that a terror attack attempt in Canada is very likely. Again, the world knows about Canada. The world knows about our criminal enterprises that are international in scale. The world knows about our money laundering. The world knows about our infiltration by China, but not just China, but by these terrorist organizations. The world knows about our money laundering and funding of terrorism right here in Canada. The Canadian government lies about it, and they hide it from you. It's a reality that everybody else knows, except for Canadians. We need to change that. The globally renowned Counter-Extremism Project has recently reported that within the past few decades, several hundred Canadian civilians have been killed or injured in incidents related to violent extremism, and that in spite of the glib posturing and apparent policy shifts in the Trudeau government, Canada has historically viewed violent Islamist extremism as one of the leading threats to national security until Trudeau came along. And we've been sweeping this stuff under the rug increasingly. And to Cash Patel's point, over the past decade, Canada's porous borders and the Liberal government's tolerance of Islamic extremism have functioned in concert to enable various terrorists to transgress from Canada into America to commit crimes and even mass murder. In 2024, Mohammed Shahzib Khan, a longtime resident of Canada, attempted to carry out a mass shooting in support of ISIS in New York City. And Shamsuddin Jabbar, the ISIS terrorist who committed the horrific Bourbon Street attack in New Orleans, was also previously permitted to travel freely between Canada and the U.S. Furthermore, the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service itself has long recognized Canada's modern transformation into an exporter of Islamic terrorism, and for years has attempted to monitor and respond to the threat of Canadian extremist travelers. According to Director Patel, whose take is far more accurate than Canada's own take, over 300 known or suspected terrorists crossed into the United States last year illegally. 85% of them came through Canada and the northern border. Now, people have talked about illegal immigration, how Trump mentioned that our porous border was a problem, that drug exports to the United States were a problem, that human trafficking into the United States was a problem. And a lot of people denied it. They said that only 1% of the drugs that go into the United States were seized on the Canadian border, ignoring the fact that it's a massive border and it's underpoliced. None of the freight traffic, none of the rail traffic. Our ports are wide open, all the things I've covered before. But it should say something that with 1 million people crossing into the United States a year from Mexico, known terrorist apprehensions from Canada into the United States are hundreds of percent higher, even though the percentage of people crossing into the United States from Canada illegally is much lower. That's how bad things are. 100 known or suspected terrorists have crossed into this country illegally, 64 or so of them from the north. Even Justin Trudeau, Canada's previous prime minister, was recently forced to admit that bad actors have been exploiting Canada's immigration system for their own interests. That wasn't new information when Justin Trudeau said it. It's old information. He talks about bad actors, and it's a clever, it's not that clever, but it's a device for shifting blame from the government onto the people abusing the system. So the concept that I guess he's trying to lean on is that people trying to get into this country, people clamoring to get into this country, have an obligation, are honor-bound to use the system responsibly. Yet, he acts surprised and shocked and even hurt, because we know he likes to cry, that bad actors would actually use that wide open door for malicious purposes. He knows, they know, the problem that they've created, but they want to shift the blame. It's always about shifting the blame off the government, who leaves the door wide open and who encourages the advantage that's being taken by these people. It's never the government's fault. It's always someone else. Despite all this, the Canadian political establishment and the media have stubbornly denied any suggestion that Islamic extremism has successfully entrenched itself within Canada. I mean, how delusional can you be? I mean, little Springbrook, Ontario. If you go and look at that on a map, I'm not going to look it up for you right now. It's very close to Stirling, and somebody in here is from Stirling. There was a church near a road. It's by a road called Sweet Road. It's right on the main drag heading into Springbrook. It was a church. Now it's a mosque. Mosques are springing up all over the country. Mosques are teaching things like what we just covered in the religious schools that are very outside of what's being taught via public education here in Canada. And nobody's telling you the story. Does anybody remember when Kathleen Wynne went to visit a mosque and was made to sit in the back? She had to put a scarf on her head. And the premier of the province was made to sit in the back row. Compare and contrast that to Marine Le Pen when she was invited into a similar building and asked to wear a head covering, and she just left because she had self-respect as a citizen of Western civilization. More importantly, it is readily apparent that until the Liberal government starts to earnestly secure Canada's borders and begins to excise Islamic extremism from within Canadian society, Canada will continue to serve as a womb for Islamic extremism in North America and a constant source of terrorism in the U.S. This was written by William Barclay, who's a political theorist and private consultant